Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for picking my session today. We've got a lot of ground to cover. We're going to talk about testing ASP.NET views with approval tests. And so I thought I'd start off by calling out to one of Aesop's fables, which Llewellyn Falco, the creator of approval tests, mentioned in one of his videos. And it's about this fox who wanted to get these grapes. But the grapes were too high, and no matter how hard he tried to get the grapes, he wasn't able to get them. So after giving up, he walked away saying that the grapes probably weren't that good anyways. So, like all of Aesop's fables, it's got a moral. And the moral is that it's easy to dismiss something that you can't have. So, I mean, the question is, can we have view testing that runs from all the way from our machine and automated on our build server? If it could be easy, would we want it? Because a lot of people, because it can be kind of hard, will spend a lot of time thinking of reasons why they don't want to do it. But the question is really is that if it's not that hard, would you do it? And I show, and I can show you guys a way to do it. I'm not gonna lie, it's not easy at first. But it is entirely possible. Using approval tests gives us a good way to do it. It makes it easier for us. And but there are a few things as far as getting set up and learning how to do it that aren't obvious at first until you're shown how. But once you know how to do it, you can repeat it very easily. So our plan today is to spend a lot of time in Visual Studio. To start with a new project, to set up a basic view test using approval tests. And if you don't know what approval tests are, don't worry about it. You're going to have a pretty good idea of what they are by the time we're done. And we're going to run our tests in three environments. Visual Studio is where we'll start. We'll get them running under nCrunch. And we also have a cruisecontrol.net build server that we'll use. If everything cooperates. I mean, it's been cooperating so far, but demos being what they are, you never know. After we've gotten our basic tests running in all of our environments, we'll do some more interesting tests that interact with data, because that's certainly something that, when I was learning how to do this, was a major stumbling block. But I had a chance to sit down with Llewellyn, and he taught me how to work around it. And of course, we're going to make a few mistakes along the way. Some of the mistakes I'm going to make on purpose so that you can see what it looks like and see how to work around them. And other mistakes, I'm sure, will just creep up on their own. And we'll let you guys decide on your own which ones I did on purpose and which ones I didn't. These slides are already posted on Speaker Deck, so the link is down there. And this resource page is probably the most interesting page of the slides since we're going to be spending most of our time in Visual Studio. As we work, we're going to be updating a repository on GitHub. So there's a link there. You can follow along if you want. You can also see some previous branches that I did while I was practicing. See? We have a couple of videos. I mentioned Llewellyn, the creator of approval tests. He has a nice video about testing MVC views. And another developer down here in San Diego, Chris Skripka, he recently did a nice video about data access that he happened to do from using MVC. So it's another good example. I also wrote a few blog entries about testing views, so you can check those out if this is something you decide you want to try. By the time we're done, you should have a good chance to make up your own mind whether or not testing views is something that makes sense in your scenario. With that said, we'll hop over to Visual Studio, which I've already warmed up a bit. So we're going to start off with an ASP.NET 3 application, and we're using old reliable Visual Studio 2010. I know a lot of speakers are using 2012, but I guess I just want to reduce the number of variables today, so we'll just use 2010. And it's not going to matter which of these templates we use. I tend to use the intranet template when showing an example, because there's just less moving parts. You know, there's no account controller, which isn't really that important to us. So we're going to pick the smaller of the templates. It doesn't matter which view engine we choose. It also we have the option or not to use the semantic markup. Having a test project is not an option because we're going to be testing. And I'm going to be using MS Test, but you know, approval test is a library that works with your test framework. It's not a test framework itself, so it actually does work very well with most popular test frameworks out there. You know, NUnit and XUnit and MSpec. I know for sure it works with all of those, but I tend to just use MS Test. So while that's warming up, we're going to see. The first thing we're going to see is there's the README, and the README, because it's an intranet project, is going to suggest that we make some changes to our web server configuration, which we're going to ignore. Basically, the way that approval test works when testing your view is it's going to make a request out to your dev server, and when it does that, it's not going to send any credentials. So we don't want to take the advice here of switching to IIS Express and then reconfiguring it for an anonymous disabling anonymous authentication. We can use IIS Express if we like, but we have to leave anonymous authentication enabled. And keep in mind that that's only a limitation for your testing environment. You can, of course, do whatever you like as far as your production environment goes. So, any second now, it should be done creating the project. All right. And we can take a look. I mean, like I said, we're going to ignore this. We're just going to go ahead and use plain old Cassini right now. And, you know, we have our typical home controller, which I'm sure everyone has seen. And we're not really interested in that at the moment. We're more interested in the tests. So over here in the test project, we get two tests. One is testing the index method, and the other one is testing the about method. And it's actually creating an instance of the home controller and then executing those methods and getting the view result. And that's all well and good, except that it's not a view test, right? These are clearly controller tests. If you didn't, I mean, even if you don't spend any time philosophizing about it, you can see that they've gone ahead and put it in a folder called controllers. So what we're testing when we test these, even though we are looking at some item in the view bag, is we're really testing the controller's ability to create a view result. And the view result is not the view. The view result is a model, and when it's combined with a view template and rendered by the web server, that's when it becomes a view. So it's good to test your view result. It's good to know that your controllers can produce the view result that you were looking for, but it's not the same thing as testing a view. But for a long time, maybe that was as close as we could get to testing the view. And again, there's lots of opinions about whether or not you should test the view. But my opinion is that our users look at the view, and as far as they're concerned, for many of them, that's the application. So it's important to our users. And another reason we might want to test our views is because we write them. We don't necessarily write the code that wires up the view result with the view template and then renders the view, but we do write that template. And if we can test something that we've written, we should. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the concept of can I take some data and put it with a view template and test the rendered result. There's a whole other category of testing, of course, with tools like Weighton, where you can, you know, click on the buttons and make sure all your links work and stuff like that. And those are good for what they do. But I still think there's value in just combining some data with a view template and seeing how that renders out. So how would we go about setting that up? Well, the first thing we need to do is add a reference to approval tests. So I'm just gonna, it's available on NuGet, so we'll install this package. And I'll just be explicit about where I want it to go. And that should bring it down for us. Well, we'll see how it cooperates again. If not, we can get it out of the local cache. All right, so there we go. It grabbed approval test for us. And we get two libraries with that, the test library and the utility library. The test library has kind of all the code that's meant to work with your testing framework, and the utilities library is used by the test library, but it's also stuff that might be generally useful in any kind of application, just different utilities. And we'll see a couple of those as we work some different uses of approval utilities directly. So to get started, after we have added our reference, we're going to create a folder to host our views. So add a new folder, call it views. You don't have to add a folder. I mean, you can just put it directly in the root if you like, but I usually add a folder just because it makes sense to me. So we'll add a new test. No, nope, that's not the way I wanted to do it. Okay, we'll add a basic unit test and we'll call it our home views test. And this is going to host all of our views that are related to our home view, obviously. I mean, if we had other controllers inside of our MVC project, we would create some different views to host those. Now, as we saw when we were looking at the controller test, we already have two methods inside of, or two actions inside of our MVC project. So we're going to want to test the index view, and we're going to want to test that about view. If it cooperates, okay. And we're going to test another view later on that doesn't exist yet. We'll call that one the cars view, because our website's going to be a car dealership. Alright, so it looks like the code snippet expansion is a little slow, so I'll try to avoid doing that. So this will be our test later on that we'll have some data. That's interesting. But we're just going to take advantage of the fact that we already have a couple views to get up and started. And for those of you who aren't familiar with approval tests, to get familiar with how they work. And for those of you who are familiar with approval tests but maybe haven't used MVC testing, to see how that works. So we're going to need to bring in a few namespaces. There's a section for ASP. There's one for MVC, and we've got one that is general to all approval tests, and that's reporters. So the way that approval test works is that instead of calling a cert at the bottom of your test, you're going to call a method on the approvals method static class. And this, after you've exercised your code and captured some of your output, the approval test will compare that to the existing known correct output. If it's the first time you've run your test, then you're not going to have any existing approved text to compare it to. So it, of course, will fail the first time. And then approval test would like to know how to present that output to you so that you can view it and review it and decide whether or not your tests are, whether or not your code is correct yet. If that doesn't make a lot of sense, it makes a lot more sense when you see it in action. But what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to tell approval test how we would like to see this output anytime we have a failing test. So we give it the useReporter attribute, and we're going to have a file launcher, and since we'll be working with HTML, the file launcher will cause the received file to appear in our browser. This so we can see the fully rendered view. And I'm also going to use a diff reporter. And the diff reporter, I'm using a specific one right now, which is going to call tortoise merge. And tortoise merge will, it's a diff tool, and it will show us in great detail any differences between whatever we've approved and whatever we received. So you'll also notice that I've made this an assembly level attribute. Normally, I would put this attribute up here in the assembly info, and it would apply to all to the entire project. But just for the sake of having everything nearby, I went ahead and put it right here on line 10. So we've got our namespaces, and we've got our reference to approval tests. So what does it look like to test an MVC view using approval tests? In plain English, what we need to do is we need to make our test target available on a web server. And in our case, that'll be Cassini. Then we need to provide the route to an action. And we're not testing the action, but it is actions which produce views. So we need to provide the route to the action which produces the view we would like to test. Then we need to test it. And again, if it's our first test, it's going to fail. We need to review the failing test, then approve it if appropriate. And then we run again, and it should pass. And then we refactor. So that's our basic process for getting this going, and it looks like a lot of steps, but a lot of it is gonna go away, and you're really only gonna be thinking about this line right here. So to get it available on our web server, we just have to start the web server. So we can do Control F5, or we can go over to debug, and we can say start without debugging, and that'll cause our project to build. And Cassini dev Cassini wakes up and begins to think about showing us our web page. Let me get that on the screen. And so we have, our basic MVC3 default page, and we can see that it's running here on our local host. So now it's available, right? Normally, I'd just do Control F5 to make that happen. The next thing we need to do is provide the route to an action. I mean, the easiest, or maybe the most straightforward way to do this would just to be to provide the URL. But if we provide the URL directly, I mean, approval test supports that. But if we do it that way, then we end up, introducing a lot of magic strings that we have to maintain inside of our test. So we're going to see that crop up again, time and again, these magic strings, and we're going to try to eliminate them as much as possible by providing a more dynamic way for the test to find the data that it needs. In the case of running a simple MVC approval, what we want to do is provide a delegate to the MVC approvals, which will give MVC approvals all of the metadata that it needs to infer what the route should be. So our delegate is just going to be a function of action result. We need to bring in our MVC namespace, and we'll just call it action delegate. This is going to be a temp for now. Just I want to show it to you guys broken out before I show you how to do it elegantly. So action delegate, and well, somebody in the chat room just asked, what's the plugin that makes the comments disappear? That's Code Rush. Anyways, the action delegate, we're going to need to specify a home controller. And the method on the home controller. And again, this is a delegate, so we're not actually invoking it. We're just providing the method group and assigning it to this function. The important thing to remember about this is again, it's just metadata. It's just metadata. Home controller is not used in the test. And the delegate itself is never invoked. So if you were to, like, say, have a repository or something, or some other way of changing the home controller state before running your test, that is not going to have any effect on your test outcome, because all that this home controller exists to do is to create this delegate, and all this delegate exists to do is to provide information about the name of the controller and the name of the method, so that MVC approvals can infer the route to request. So down here is where we're going to actually call MVC approvals for the first time. Oh, MVC approvals. And we're going to verify an MVC page, and we just provided that action delegate. And at that point, we need to run this in order to see what happens. So we'll get that going. So it fails. And that's actually, oh wait, I said I wasn't going to tell you when I made mistakes on purpose. So, well, just this one time, I'll say that I was expecting that. We were actually expecting that because there's one piece of the route that we didn't give to MVC when we gave it that delegate. And, you know, in a normal like production scenario, we wouldn't have to specify the port because it'd be running on port 80. But here, when we're testing, we do need to let approval tests know which port we want to use. And this exception coming from approval test is actually just telling us, look, hey, you didn't tell me what port to use. So we need to go back to our section, the section of our test where we are providing the route. And we need to access the port factory, which is part of MVC approvals, and give it the port. And that should give us a chance to actually run the test and get a result. And there you go. So in this time when the test ran, approval test was able to go out and make the request. It figured out what the route was, and it made the request. It downloaded the rendered view, and it's showing it to us. So here in Chrome, we can see that we're looking at a local file. So this is our, again, this is our default page. It looks pretty good to me. It's a paragon of good design. But over here we have the diff reporter result. And we don't really need to look too closely at this right now because this is just our first run. We can see over on the approved side that it's completely blank because nothing's been approved. And but we know that this HTML on this side is pretty much what we want because we just looked at it in the browser. So we'll just say use this whole file and we'll save. And now that we have something on the golden side, this will be what approval test will compare any future test runs against. So if we run the test again immediately, we should get it to pass. And it does. And so now might be a good time to fire up nCrunch and let it have a chance at running that test. So again, if anybody out there is not familiar with nCrunch, it's a continuous testing tool, but in order to test your code, it needs to build it first. And the big advantage, other than the tight feedback loop you get from running your tests continuously, the big advantage I find is that it will reveal some bad assumptions you might be unknowingly making while you're writing your tests. And so you might find something that passes in Visual Studio and fails in nCrunch, and that kind of brittleness, you know, is not something you really want to have in your test, so you can figure out a better way to do whatever you're trying to do in that test. So we're going to run into a couple of those cases where nCrunch shows us that we're making bad assumptions. And hopefully by satisfying nCrunch, we'll be able to satisfy the build server as well once we get to pushing that. So this isn't really, again, important to what we do over here with nCrunch. So we're just going to basically accept most of these defaults. And we'll let the tests run. That's probably the only important thing we care about. We want it to run continuously. And once we do that, nCrunch should get started right up. and it's going to start building our project and running the tests. And we'll see that these should all pass. So our index view passed because we had to prove the file, and the rest of our tests passed because, well, these ones are just stubs, they're not implemented yet. And these guys were the default tests that we got with Visual Studio, which of course passed because they were nice enough to ship tests that pass in the template. So we can do some cleanup over here, but before we do any cleanup over here, let's just go ahead and do our first push to GitHub. So now, this is the moment of truth, right? If here we have everything that we just added, we've got our project and all of our tests, and we implemented our first few tests. And once we sync this up, we should be able to force the build server to run. And you can see that I've already configured that, and it's failing because at the moment it's completely empty until we finish this push. And then there's my practice from earlier today. Okay, so everything made its way up to GitHub. We can force that to build. And we should be able to see, we'll let that run in the background, and then we'll go ahead and do cleanup over in Visual Studio. So we don't need any of these comments anymore. And we don't need this delegate either. This can just be inline. And we have some more comments we don't need. And we did review it, and we approved it, and it was green. And we didn't look at any refactoring, but we'll kind of see what that looks like as we go. So we've cleaned that up. We've gotten it down to a couple of easy-to-read lines. And so implementing our about view should be pretty straightforward. All we have to do is make a controller and make a delegate like we did before and call it. But this is gonna fail. And the reason is it's the same as before. We have the problem of needing to specify the port. And let's before we get into that, let's look at here. Okay, we can see that our tests didn't pass on the build server. And the reason they didn't pass on the build server is because the build server doesn't meet the first requirement of running a approval test with MVC on MVC, which is to make available the target, right? Over on the build server, it can't see Cassini. So what we need to do is figure out some way that the build server can make a web request whenever it wants to, without having to rely on us to be around or a persistent web server to be around. Luckily for us, there is a another open source project we can use. It's called Cassini Dev. And you've heard me probably say Cassini Dev a couple times already, because it is easy to get tongue-tied when you're trying to talk about the differences between the built-in Visual Studio web server and this open source project. And we can use Cassini Dev to self-host a web server in our test. And to do that, we're going to implement a base class that we can just inherit from. So we'll call it MVC View Test. And we'll create it. And this is going to be also a good place to stick our call to our port factory. So we'll add a constructor. I'll put our port factory in there. And we need to bring in a namespace for that. We'll make it public. We could probably make it abstract, but it doesn't really matter. So at this point, we can real quickly see that we haven't broken our index view. Our about view is still broken because we've never approved it yet, so we'll just go ahead and approve it. And we can see we have a fairly standard about view here, Which is, again, I think this is a great design, so I'm going to approve it. And we'll save it. And it should now pass. And whenever we want to, we can just ask nCrunch to rerun the test. Otherwise, it'll just run when we start editing again. And that works in nCrunch too. So now we're back where we've got all of our tests passing, or at least so I claim. Should run them and make sure. And they pass. So now we're back to looking at how we're going to self-host this web server. So first we need to go get that Cassini dev project. And we'll put it into our test project. Oh, it helps if I probably put the right command in. Well, it worked anyways. Fantastic. So what we'll want to do is bring in a namespace, of course, for Cassini dev. And we're going to want to inherit from the Cassini dev server. And we're going to need to build in order to make Visual Studio acknowledge that's there. And once we, so now that we've inherited this, we have the ability to start and stop a server at will. But we need to make that happen. And we need to also be mindful of our little friend nCrunch in the corner watching everything that we do. Because we don't want nCrunch to start the server while we're writing, we're going to start with our teardown. And actually, in order to add this test cleanup attribute, we need to add a test class attribute up here. And we're not going to write any tests within this class, but you get a warning if you don't have that attribute, so we'll just have it. So we're going to have our teardown method, and it's real easy to write. We just tell the server to stop. And so now nCrunch sees that, and you can see that it ran that line of code, but it didn't hurt us because that's us trying to stop a server that's not started yet. And now we can initialize our test and start the server. And starting the server is a little more complicated than stopping it. Cassini dev would like to know where the folder is that contains the web application we'd like to start. So where we are now, when we run tests, we're going to be in our debug folder, right? So that's debug, and then bin, and then our tests, and then car dealership is where our web app is, dealership. And, that's probably looking ugly to you. It looks ugly to me. But we'll see how that works out for us. And so, port factory. Cassini dev would like to know what port it should host on. So we're going to use the same port that approval test is going to be looking for. And we have a, we're going to tell it to host that at the root. And also, we need to identify what it should identify itself as. So identify yourself as localhost. And so that compiles, and nCrunch is already thinking about running that, and it fails. And it gives us an exception. It says that 2683 is in use. Well, that makes perfect sense, because that's where plain old Cassini is running. And Cassini dev and plain old Cassini, they can't share the same port. So we need to give Cassini dev a different port. Now, Cassini dev actually has really good support for picking a port automatically, but you'll see that that's not something that is an option for us with approval tests. So I'm going to go ahead and just go forward, and then you'll see why we need to statically define the port. So what I usually do again, for reasons that will become apparent, is just increment the port. And this kind of gives me the ability to move back and forth between plain old Cassini and Cassini Dev. And why I would want to do that is something, it has to do with the trade-offs involved with hosting this yourself. So you can see that we're no longer getting an exception here, but that we do have failing tests. Like when our tests are failing, our little coverage markers become red. So we probably want to head over to Visual Studio and run our tests in the Visual Studio test runner to see if we can get any more information about that failing test. So we'll run them, and we'll see if we get anything reported back to us, and we do. So here's the reason why we can't just take advantage of like some kind of dynamic port finding. Our port is actually baked into our HTML page. So as we so Cassini Dev would be, it would be nice to have it just automatically pick its port, but we can't have the port change on us every time because we're going to get a diff when we do. And the whole theory behind approval tests is to make sure that you don't have diffs and you're able to produce consistent output. It's like a really functional style of thinking where same input comes with the same output. So that's one of our trade-offs. But it's not the most important trade-off. I'm going to go ahead and prove it with this new port number. The most important trade-off, at least as far as I'm concerned, between Cassini Dev and plain old Cassini is this. When we were running our test under plain old Cassini, well, that was a persistent web server that hung around. And as it was hanging around, by the time that Chrome launched and asked for the CSS page, it was there to serve that request. And so we got a nice fully rendered view of the view, right, of the result. But when we're running with Cassini Dev and we're shutting down our server at the end of every test, then the server's not around to service that request by the time that Chrome asks for it. So we get a less beautiful view. There's still some value in this, I suppose. Certainly, it's valuable to us because what I'm claiming is that this is something that lets us run it on the dev server. That's valuable. And it's certainly valuable because it will protect us from any kind of unexpected regressions, you know, any changes. So as we're working, we'll be able to detect any changes to this view. But as far as like getting a nice design time back and forth feedback, we don't have that when we're working with Cassini Dev. And so this is the reason why I left myself the option of switching back and forth between plain old Cassini and Cassini Dev rather than just permanently changing the port to one that Cassini was not occupying. So this is not the reason why the test failed, though. The test failed because of the port being different. And now that I've approved that, we can go ahead and run them again, and they pass. And even nCrunch should be happy with those changes. And while that runs, we can get ready to do our next push, because I'm expecting those to pass. Oh, did they? Oh, if they didn't. I got a little ahead of myself there. So I mentioned that that our magic strings are bad. They're ugly, and they don't help us at all when we're trying to test. So we're getting a 500 error when we try and run this test under nCrunch. And that's because we have, I mean, we could debug this. It was difficult to debug at first. We had to put our server, our thread to sleep, and then run over to Chrome and try and hit our URL in order to see what was going on. But basically it boils down to, over in nCrunch's build environment, this is not a valid path to where our application is. So we need to provide a valid path in order to start it up. And you know, we could look at maybe trying to figure it out or brute force it or reconfiguring nCrunch, but the truth is we don't want a magic string here anyways. What we would like to have, what we'd like to have is a way for the server to dynamically locate the application. So ideally, what we would just have is a way to say, hey, MVC application, tell me what your directory is. So that, of course, doesn't exist, but we can create it. MVC application is a class we control, and it is in the folder that we would like to know the path to. So we'll just use our refactoring tool to declare that property. And we get a nice static directory, which will certainly meet the API that test is now expecting. But how are we going to find this directory at runtime? Well, it turns out that approval test gives us a very easy way to locate this, the location of this global ASEX file, which is the actual directory that we want to give to the server. So I'm just going to go ahead and consume first and write the method, and then we'll set up the project so that it works. So there's a class inside approval utilities called path utilities, and it has a method on it called get directory for caller. And if that method worked, then our whole test should work. And to make it work, we just need to add a reference to approval utilities to our production project. So I'm just going to do that with NuGet. I'm going to reinstall the entire NuGet package. And again, over here, we end up getting two references, one to approval test and one to approval utilities. The test stuff is not really useful to us in the MVC project. It doesn't hurt it for it to be hanging around there, but if you don't like this extra one, you can just hit the delete button, and now you just have approval utilities. We need to bring in the namespace, which is approvalutilities.utilities, and you can see that that's already building an ncrunch. And ncrunch should be running any second now. And it's done building, and it looks like the tests are going to pass. And they do. So, again, let's just review for a second what we did there. We added a property onto our MVC application that lets us dynamically locate the directory that the application is hosted in or stored in, and we're using that dynamic location to provide it to ncrunch. So I don't even know from ncrunch's point of view what path is the correct path to finding that that application. I was able to guess it from Visual Studio's point of view, but now we have something where ncrunch is finding it on its own. I claim that this will work in Visual Studio too. Let's see. And so if it does work in Visual Studio, then Visual Studio found it on its own without me having to tell it. And hopefully, when we push it to the build server will be able to figure it out on its own. All right, so those two passed, and we have it running in ncrunch again, and that passed. So now I think we're ready to do our next push. So what we did here was we integrated Cassini dev. And we can just commit that and sync. And if that runs quickly, I'll force it right now. If not, we'll just move on a bit. But just to review again, what we've done so far is that if this works, we're going to have tests that run in three environments. And if that works, then we can go on to doing maybe some more interesting tests on more interesting actions. I don't know if you guys can hear the lawn guy out there, but I don't think I can successfully chase him away. All right, so we ran our test, and it failed on the build server. I'll just run it again. And so let's go check that out and see what's going on over there. So over here in our views test is where we should be seeing the results. Let's see. There we go, it's building now. And we should see some results showing up over here. Maybe not. Let's see. See if this is up to date. Yep, that's up to date. No uncommitted changes. All right. Well, we're just going to pretend that that did do what I thought it should. Maybe we'll go ahead and just delete this folder and then force it again to do a fresh build. So over in cruise control, we can force it to build and it should reappear. There we go. And we'll let that build. It's going to take a little bit longer this time. In the meantime, I can tell you that the reason it's failing is because there's actually an inconsistency in the way that it's running on the build server. Now, this is not something that showed up in NCrunch, and it's not something that showed up in Visual Studio. And so, again, running your tests in more and more environments reveals more and more kind of like baked-in inconsistencies. I still don't know why we're not getting anything. Let's see if we can go look at the build bog. And the inconsistency in this case is it is actually that in our default MVC template we have a little line there that checks the ambiguous argument between origin demo. Well, that's interesting. All right. Unknown revision or path. That's the first time I've seen that particular one. Well, we can go on, and I apologize for that. Like I said, it being the demo, something was bound to go wrong. So anyways, what we have here is in our master page, we have this little line right here where we're welcoming the user. And so on the build server, what we normally expect to see is that it's going to say something like welcome NT authority slash system. And on my machine, it says welcome Jim. So what we want to do is maybe figure out some way to make this consistent. And for me, the easiest way to make it consistent is to just get rid of it. Of course, if you wanted to greet your users by name, then you need to figure out some way to inject that information, or maybe decide what's more important, testing or having that greeting there. In the case of this demo, that's just something that was thrown in there by default in the default template. It wasn't really part of our design. So I'm perfectly comfortable just getting rid of it. So we'll rerun our tests, because now we're expecting those to fail, because we deleted some information from the master page. But we wanted to, so we'll just reapprove that. And you see it wanted me to reload it there. Now that was NCrunch changing the file behind my back. But since it was consistent, it just ended up putting the same file back in there. So we run it again, and this time, one more time, we can approve. And that should get us consistent, and we can go over and run NCrunch and make that consistent. And, you know, maybe we'll push again and see if just one more push will magically fix our repository. So we have more uncommitted changes. This time, not too many. You can see that we changed the master page and we reapproved our files. So we'll just say we fixed a fragile master page. And we'll sync that up. Again, I apologize that it doesn't appear to be checking out correctly on cruise control, but I don't want to spend too much time trying to debug that because I think it's very important to show you guys how to work around data with your views. And this hour is just flying by. So we sent that to the server. If anything interesting happens over there on the build server, I'll be sure to let you guys know. We'll just give it a force anyways. And we'll move on to part three, which is going to be looking at how we work with data. So again, the tests that we've run so far, they've been boring in the extreme, in that they are totally totally static at this point. I've even deleted the part where it was greeting us by name. So they might as well not be MVC pages. They might as well just be static HTML. So let's look at something that's interesting, that actually resembles an MVC page, and see what kind of problems we might have trying to test that. So we're going to need to add some models really quickly, and we're not going to do anything fancy like Entity Framework or anything like that. We don't need to for this demo. We're just going to add a car lot. That's going to be our repository for our used car dealership. And we'll add a car. And so these are the cars that we have for sale. And this is just to be a very simple little class. We'll say string make. And we'll say string model. And maybe we'll put the year on there. We won't worry about negative years or anything like that. And so that's our car. We won't really need to look at that too much more. But our car lot is something where we want to do something a little different, something we would never do in production. So our car lot maybe was going to have a method on it that returns a collection of cars. And in my case, my database is not always convenient to get to. I usually have to VPN if I want to touch the database. And so I don't want to VPN in whenever I want to run tests. So my database is never available. It always throws a SQL exception if I try and hit it. So what we're going to do instead of that is we're just going to implement our get cars method like this. And it looks like we have a question. Maybe someone knows the answer to. Don't worry about it. Do you know if there's an approval verifier that actually does an XML comparison versus a text or XML comparison? There are smarter diff utilities, but the verifier itself will verify the raw text. So if things are moved around, that's going to show up as a failure. There are smarter diff utilities that will kind of like DevArt Cone Compare is one that can do like some actual syntactic comparison. But most of the time you're just looking at the raw text at the low level of the approval test. Approval test actually does a lot more than just text though. I mean, you can do images and RLDC reports and a lot of other stuff. We're just looking at one part of it today. Anyways, so this is our repository that never works, right? Because it's either not available, right? Because it's on the other side of a VPN, or it's not available because you don't want to be touching it, right? You don't want to be touching your SQL during your testing. So here's our repository that never works, and we probably won't really need to look at that anymore. But now that we have a model, we can generate a new view to test with. And so we're going to actually have to have a new action to get to that view. So our view result, and we'll call it cars because that's what we had our test named as. And this needs to do two things. Just like most actions, it needs to get some data and it needs to show the data. So in order to get the data, we're going to need some repository, right? So let's add a couple constructors. There's one, there's two, and this will be our dependency injection constructor, car lot, and we need our models. And we'll declare a field to hold that for us. And up here's going to be our default constructor, new car lot. And what we have here is, again, this is a kind of a fairly typical pattern you might see where you're injecting your repository for testing and then just using the default repository in production. But remember that we can't inject a repository when we're doing this MVC view testing because the actual code that's rendering the view for us is on the web server. And when we inject that repository in the test, the web server doesn't know or care that we did that. It is always going to call the default constructor that gets the default repository. So down here in our cars view, if we we show the data like this, the data, and we get our data like this, then we're obviously going to have a problem if we just naively head over here to our test and ask it to approve that for us. And we'll say cars. And we're going to expect this guy to fail. But since we're going to want to take a look at that failure, I'm going to go ahead and switch us over to using plain old Cassini. So I just don't start Cassini dev and I don't switch the port. And that should be enough to get us back and running on Cassini dev. But again, this isn't going to pass. It's going to have, let's see, nCrunch had probably a 500 error. Well, it had 404 that time. And it probably needs to be rebuilt. MVC, or MS Test, let's see, it had a 500 error. So we can head on over to Chrome now since we're back running on Cassini dev, or plain old Cassini. Again, like I said, it's easy to get tongue-tied. And we can head over to localhost. Let me get one that already has a localhost window open. Yeah, this one will work. Nope. So here's what we'll do. We'll just copy it from here. So we'll hit that page and we'll see what we get. And we get what maybe we should expect to get, which is we hit that not implemented exception because we tried to use the repository that's not usable. So now this is a moment where we need to remind ourselves that our goal is not to test the controller and it's not to test these action methods. Our goal is to test a view. And in order to test a view, we want to say we have some data and we have a view, put them together, and show it to me. So we don't really care about this cars method in particular. I mean, we care about it in general, and in that case, we should go write a controller test to make sure that that lines 24 through 31 are implemented correctly. But when it comes to trying to test the view, we don't care about it. So what we'll do is, where the magic happens. This is where a view and some data are glued together. And all of our methods have something like this. They do it with the view bag here a little differently. It says get the data, show the data. And our about thing, the data is just null. It doesn't have any data, so it gets null and shows us null. But up here in cars, that repository is in our way. So what we want to do is introduce a testing seam that will let us get around the repository. We do this by extracting a method, and we'll call it cars. And so now we have a private function that returns a view result, and it only has the part that we care about in it now. We don't have to bother with this action anymore, because everything we care about, this thing says show the data, and this thing says here's the data, and we just need to figure out some way to give the data to the method. And this is where you might have to compromise your delicate sensibilities, because that injection of test data has to happen on the web server, because as we mentioned, any changes we make over in the test project aren't going to show up when the web server renders the view for us. So we're going to have to figure out some way to inject test data directly on the web server. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to add another file. And I'm going to call it home controller test. And this is not actually going to be a class called home controller test. It's going to be home controller. And it's going to be partial. So anything that I'm going to do that's kind of messy and makes us feel icky because we're putting because we're injecting test data is going to happen over here in this half of the partial. And anything that's happy and clean, we're going to have over here on this half of the partial. So now that we've got this at least somewhat separation, we can go in here and we can implement a new action that will inject the data we want. So it's going to be a view result. And we're going to need to bring in our MVC namespace. And we're going to call it test cars. And it doesn't need any parameters. And this thing needs to do the same thing that our old cars method does, right? We need to get the data and show the data. Showing the data is going to be basically the same thing. We're going to call that private testing scene with the data. And getting the data is going to be different, though. We don't want to touch that repository, so what we're going to do is we're going to have the data. And at this point, you could do whatever you need to do. I mean, you could make mocks. You could manipulate the state of the controller. You're inside the web server now, so anything you do here is actually going to take effect when you run your test. So real quickly, all we need to do is create an array of cars. So we'll have a new car, and that will be, we need to bring in our models. And so that will be a make, let's have it be a VW, a model, could be a Passat, and the year, I think, is 2002. And another car, and it could be a Honda, and a model is, a Fit, and how about a 2007? And we can close that off, and there we go, we have the data. And we can add more. I mean, you guys get the idea. We can do what we want here in order to do whatever we need to do to make a realistic view for us to approve. So we've got the data, and we're showing the data. The only thing we need to do is head back over to the test, and we need to tell it to use our new method instead. And we should be able to run it and get some feedback that way. And so it fails, but did it fail because of an approval? No, we didn't get any feedback. So let's go take a look at it. And I've got too many of these guys open. And we'll see. Here's where we were with cars. That should still throw the same exception, but we want to see test cars now. So this is something else you're going to run into. And now MVC, we're calling test cars, and MVC can't find a view called test cars. And we don't want to create a view called test cars because we actually are trying to test the cars view. And MVC, it depends on the view engine, but this one, the one we're using is inferring it off the virtual path up here. So we need to give it some help. So we'll head on over to our private scene, and instead of just calling it the default way, we'll give it the name of the view it should use, and we'll run it, and we'll see if we get any output that way. Looks like something's happening. Are we going to get anything? Let's see our results. Oh, let's see, we've got another 500. Let's see what that's about. Did I not call it cars? No, it should be called cars. We've got a cars view, don't we? Oh, I never created the view. Well, that also it also helps to create the view. So we'll do that real quickly. So we want it to be called cars. We want razor. We want it to be strongly typed. list view, and we'll add that view. All right, so that's a very typical view that we'd see anytime we generated one that way. So we don't need to look at it too closely. And now we should hopefully get some feedback. That's taking longer to run, that's a good sign. Okay, and here we go, we got feedback. And here's our view with our test data. You'll notice that when I deleted the login, I screwed up the alignment of this header, right? So that would be a good opportunity to do some refactoring if we had time, or if I was any good at CSS, which I'm not. But for the time being, we're not going to worry about it. But so you can see that we've got some good solid feedback about something we might want to fix on our page. And we have our test data, and it looks fine. So we can go from here, we can start refactoring, and once we get everything working the way we want it to, we can approve the final output, which I'm just going to do now. And I want to actually save it. And that passes. And at this point, my other two tests are going to fail because of that whole port number issue, because I had switched this back over to design mode. So rather than change that, I'm just going to go ahead and switch this back over to build server mode, or regression testing mode, or whatever you want to call it. And this is going to make my my new car view fail one more time, because I just changed the port number on it again. But once that guy comes up and I can approve him, then we should be more or less done. I'll try pushing one more time and see if anything happens on cruise control. But we're not. Let's see, we have one failing test here. It's an approval mismatch. And then over here we have an issue which I'm kind of glad came up. We got, yet again, another warning that our port is in use. What happened there was when I ran the test, nCrunch noticed some changes and also decided to run. So there was a fairly typical race condition where nCrunch had occupied that port before Visual Studio could get there, and so Visual Studio wasn't able to run its test. That's a problem that's only going to happen on your development workstation. It doesn't happen on the server because you're not running, you're not competing on the server for a port. You just it can get access whenever it wants to. But if we rerun the test, we should see all of them pass except for our cars view. We can approve that one. There's our non-CSS version of our cars view. We can run that, and it should pass. And then head on over to nCrunch, and it should pass. And we'll let that run while we get ready to push. So, implemented test with data. We'll commit that. We'll sync it. We'll see what happens on the build server. But that's pretty much it. So that's the three steps. We had our basic tests. We got it running in theory on the build server. You can see that it was working on my practice one, but the curse of the demo broke it for me when I tried to show it to you for real. And we had some nice tests with data. So we've got just a couple minutes. If you guys want to pop any questions in the live meeting, or in the, I'll check out the chat room right here. So somebody likes Cassini Dev. So somebody else says he's been doing this from PowerShell since day one. Somebody asked why I was using Cassini. Again, that's just the easiest way to get started. And also, I knew that I would be switching to Cassini Dev later on the demo. Yes, you can set Cassini to use a specific port, or you can set Cassini Dev to automatically choose its port, but that wasn't quite the option for us. We have a question. Let's see. There's one other thing I neglected to tell you guys, to show you guys. It's not really related to testing. It's actually related to release. And we have a we did some stuff over here in our and our controller that was icky, right? We don't like having this magic string here either. So approval utilities gives us explicit method, which we can use, and then approval test will dynamically infer the correct view using the name of the enclosing method. So we just need to bring in the namespace for that. So what's going to happen is after it receives the view, it's going to figure out the name of this method and then set that as the view name on the view model. And that way we don't have to have that magic string. And if we do run it in release mode, we will we risk losing our method here to the optimizer. So we want to give the compiler a hint that we want to keep this method by passing in no inlining hint. Another way to do that is to just turn off all optimization in your release build, but if you don't like that idea, here's your other option. And finally, we don't want to release our test code, so we want to get this and enclose it in the pragma that will protect us from that. And of course that will break our little test. And so we also want to hide him in release mode. So that way it'll still compile. Anyways, that's just a couple of gotchas. I mean, I particularly like this explicit method because I like getting rid of the magic strings. So anyways, back to the chat room. Somebody says he's been doing it from the command line, and it's better, so good for him. let's see, what else we got? He also likes Cassini Dev, though. I don't know if anybody wants to pop any more questions in the Q&A box.
Say, Jim, we've got, if you click the QA button at the top of your live meeting interface, got one sitting there. There you go.
Okay. What is View Verify MVC page using to fetch the page? It is using web client, so system.net.webclient, that's all. And then after it infers the view, the route, it just makes a regular request. It's pretty simple. I'll get rid of that one. What about limiting to a certain fragment of a document? You can look at the source code for approval tests and look at the way that this is all put together. And, you know, your basic approval test is just approving text. And so after you've grabbed the page yourself, you can break it up any way you like and maybe scrub out any parts you don't like. So what I've shown you is kind of the default way with a lot of convenience methods built in. But really, it all comes down to comparing text. So if you want to get in there. And it also, if you want to talk to Llewellyn about that, I feel perfectly comfortable volunteering him because I know how much he loves pairing. So just contact him on Twitter, and you'll probably be on your Skype before you know it. And you guys can talk about any ideas you have about making this better. Any other questions? Hal Llewellyn on Twitter, he likes it. You can, of course, ask me questions on Twitter. Llewellyn knows way more about this than I do, and any other aspect of approval tests, but I'm always happy to help. And I do write about it from time to time on my blog, as well as other topics that interest me. So if you like this talk, please visit my blog. And I think that's it.
All right. Well, thanks, Jim. Looks like we have a little bit more time before the final. Well, I guess not. We're just 15 minutes ahead of the next session. So appreciate it. We want folks to provide evaluations and feedback. We want folks to support the sponsors, and want everybody to enjoy the great content we're getting here. Thanks very much.
Thank you.